This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Greetings of peace. My next guest is a senior Jewish rabbi of over 30 years, and I have a very important question to ask him. We're seeing many clips like this coming out of Jerusalem. And the mainstream media is not talking about this anti-Semitism that's actually happening down there. We want to go ahead and take a look at this clip so you can see what I'm talking about. He's also had a message to Donald Trump regarding Jerusalem.
We will move the American embassy to the eternal capital of the Jewish people, Jerusalem.
No. He's one of the leading rabbis with a movement now that's out there. It's a huge movement. You can see over 15,000 Jewish rabbis, teachers, and scholars. And did you know that Jews and Muslims live in peace for over 1,000 years? Don't take it from me. Take it from my next guest, Rabbi Shapiro.
This is the Deen Show.
Good, I love you very much. I love all the work that you're doing.
When I was ready to talk about it, I would only talk to you.
And I was explaining how much respect I have for the faith of Islam.
Welcome to the Deen Show. The Deen Show.
How you doing, Eddie? It's great to be on your show again.
It's good to have you back. How are you been? How's everything?
Everything's been good. Unfortunately, I wish we could meet under better circumstances with what's going on over there in the Middle East. It's horrific.
Can you help us make sense of this? We often see, we're hearing now a rise of anti-Semitism, but now you have this. Is it correct? You correct me if I'm wrong. Can we label this in Jerusalem anti-Semitism that the media is not reporting on at all? You don't really hear much talk about this. I get a lot of these clips from on X, and you'll see Torah, true Torah Jews or this, and they post a lot of this stuff, and you'll see a lot of this happening. Can you help us make sense of it?
There are a lot of different types of anti-Semitism. There was the anti-Semitism of the Christians in the Middle Ages that told the Jews, you either have to convert or we'll kill you, which means they had their anti-Semitism was against the Jewish religion. And if you practice Christianity, they're okay with you. Then there's the anti-Semitism of Hitler that said it doesn't matter if you practice Christianity. The Jewish blood that you have, and it was his definition of Jewish blood, we're going to kill you anyway. The Zionists are also anti-Semites, but they're anti-Semites against the anti-Zionist Jewish religion. They don't like the Jewish religion at all, unless you're a Zionist religious Jew. Let me explain. Judaism, like Islam, like Christianity, has many different people that claim the exclusive mantle of authenticity. So with the Christians, you have the Catholics and the Protestants, for example. You have the evangelicals, who don't follow the Pope. It's completely different denominations. In the Muslims, you have the Sunni and the Shia, and other religions have that too. In Judaism, you have Zionism and you have Judaism. Zionism is, according to Judaism, idol worship. It's that simple. I can explain to you if you like in detail how that works. But the reason why they created Zionism is as a substitute for Judaism, a modern political nationalistic replacement and rebranding, reengineering of the traditional religious spiritual identity of Jews. That was Judaism. And any Jew that resists the Zionist transformation of Zionism, the ones in the video that you saw are the epitome of those Jews, the Zionists don't like. They're anti-Semitic against these particular types of Jews. What you saw, that Israeli policeman doing to that Jew is not the worst thing that they've done.
No,
no, not at all.
I practice martial arts. So he did a judo throw. I mean, he did a judo throw that he could have killed. I mean, he could have just smashed the guy's head on the wall. He could have been dead. I mean, why? And he did it real sneaky. Came up to him, and unexpectedly, just threw him down with the judo throw, and then right on the concrete. We do it on mats. He did it on the concrete.
Well, thank God the guy didn't crack his skull. Other times they did. Google Pinchas Segalov, who was involved in the 50s. He was a Jew who was involved in a peaceful protest against Zionism. They beat him to death. And then when they came to court, the head of the Israeli police, the chief, he told the judge, these Neturei Karta guys, means these anti-Zionist Jews, they only understand one language, the heavy hand. So, yes, the Zionists don't like the Orthodox Jews, unless you're of the Zionist Orthodox Jews denomination, which is more Zionist than Jew, or a combination of both.
Why do you think we don't hear this or see this being talked about in the mainstream media?
Because the Orthodox Jews don't own any mainstream media, nor do we have any influence over it, very little influence over it. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you a story. I once did a radio show broadcast over WABC. It's a very large radio station in New York, one of the largest. And it was on a Sunday afternoon where they didn't have any show. Somebody canceled or something, and some guys paid money to have me broadcast. And I did. We wanted to do it again, and WABC said, no way. It's much too, they get much too much pressure against them for me to do it. So they won't let us. There's pressure. That's mm-hmm. what it is. And when we do make a protest or something like that, they're not interested. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of influence over the press, and it's not influenced by us.
I learned a lot last time we spoke. You unpackaged a lot, and people can go watch the program that we did. And I had to revisit, because sometimes when you're doing an interview, then later it kind of sinks in, and you covered some very important points. I just want to touch upon some of those for our audience here. The first thing I want to start with is the founder here. You spoke about Theodor Herzl, you spoke about Ben-Gurion, and you said that they were not practicing Jews. They weren't Jews. They were actually atheists. And then I went to look much of this up, and you had so many people also, this is a fact, this is not fiction. And many of them were against Orthodox Judaism. Is that correct?
Ben-Gurion said that Orthodox Judaism, meaning the Judaism that says that a Jewish tradition doesn't change, is Nazi ideology. That's how he refers to our mm-hmm. ideology. Theodor Herzl was, you know, the old joke they say, Jewish joke, what's the difference between Theodor Herzl and Jesus? The answer is Jesus celebrated Hanukkah and Herzl celebrated Christmas. He preferred Christianity to Judaism. He really didn't like Jews, especially anti-Zionist Jews. He said that they are a different race than regular Jews. Mm-hmm. There was an essay he wrote. It's called Maushel, M-A-U-S-H-E-L. Maybe there's a C between the S and the H. Maushel is an old anti-Semitic word for Jew, kind of like kike. And he said basically that the anti-Zionist Jews, that's what they are. They're not real Jews. The whole idea of Zionism was to transform Judaism from spiritual to political, from religious to national, and to create a new identity for the Jews, because they didn't like the old identity. My opposition to Zionism, the Jewish opposition to Zionism, just to be clear, is independent of the issue with Israel and the Palestinians. So, for example, if let's say the Israelis and the Palestinians would come to a two-state solution and both sides would be happy, let's assume even the Palestinians get 95% of the land and Israel's left with 5% in the Negev desert, and everybody's happy. Let's say everybody's happy, but Israel remains Israel, the same Israel that it is today. the Israelis may be happy, the Palestinians may be happy. I'm not happy. The Jews are not happy. Because even in that scenario, you still have a state that refers to itself as the Jewish state, refers to itself as the state of the Jews, professes an ideology that is a direct attack on my religion. My religion says the definition of a Jew is that God gave the Torah to people on Mount Sinai. Those who received it became Jews. They say, no, we're the state of all the Jews. Jewishness is a nationality, and we're the state of that nationality. And you, you American Jews, you British Jews, you Belgian Jews, you German Jews, you are all our constituents. So if we get into a fight with somebody, let's say the Palestinians are out of the picture, we get into some economic fight with China, for example, and the Chinese will be angry at Israel, we American Jews will be sitting here subject to the ire of the enemies of Israel. We have no interest in being involved in any of Israel's politics. I'm not Israeli. I'm not Palestinian. I have nothing to do with Israel. I say those left-wing Jewish organizations, let's say JVP, I think that they actually are counterproductive to a Mideast peace process. And I'll tell you why. Let me ask you something, Eddie. Who are the enemies of the Palestinians, the Israelis or the Jews?
Who are the ones who, whoever
combatants,
the people who are there, who are pressing them, who are taking their land?
Is it the Jews or the Israelis?
No, it's not the Jews.
Exactly. It's Palestine versus Israel. It's not the Jews. If so, if that's true, and it is, it's not the Jews that are the enemies that are in a war with the Palestinians, of what benefit is it for Palestinians to show that there are Jews that are on their side? They should be shown there are Israelis on their side. Mm-hmm. The fact that they consider it beneficial to their cause to say even Jews are on our side presupposes that the Jews are the enemy.
But you said that Jews and Muslims and Jews were living together. When I opened up with the program, we're living together. I said, don't take it from me. Take it from a rabbi of over 30 years, Jewish rabbi, scholar, and academic, that Muslims and Jews have been living together for over 1,000 years in peace, in relative peace. Is that correct?
The Jews had a much better time under Islam than they did under Christianity in Europe. And to the point where when the Zionists wanted to take over the Holy Land, so the Jews living there, the pious Jews living there, went to the British, and they even went to the Arabs to say, to Turks, the Ottomans, to say, we don't want the Zionists here. We'd rather live under anybody. Well, we do not want them there. There was a man by the name of Jacob Dahan, who was the messenger of the Jewish community there to the British. He was a high-powered academic. He spoke many languages, and he was considered a prominent modern professor in many circles, and he was a good spokesman for the Jews. The Zionists assassinated him. They assassinated him. They admitted it. The guy by the name of Avrom Tahomi was the assassin. They found him in Japan after the war, and he said, sure, he was putting Zionism in danger. The Jews and the Muslims lived in relative peace. There were better times than others. There was the Golden Age. You know, there were other times. But there's no question that the Jews had a better time under the Muslims than they did under the Christians, much better. In Israel, or in Palestine in those days, when the Jewish men in Jerusalem went to synagogue, the women usually didn't, because they stayed home to watch their children, which is also a part of a service of God, equal to going to the synagogue.
We have the same thing for Jumu'ah prayer. Same thing with the woman staying. They're not it's not an obligation for them to go, but they get also the reward being at home.
There you go. Except for one day on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, the women go to the synagogue. Now somebody has to babysit the children, but
we have
no Jewish
teenager. Eid. Same thing. That's the comment. We have Eid now, Eid prayer, where they're encouraged to come out on that day. Yes.
So guess who? There are no Jewish teenage girls there or boys to babysit the kids. Mm-hmm. Guess who babysat the kids on Yom Kippur? Muslims, Arabs. Babysat the Jewish kids in Jerusalem. That's how it was until Zionism came. And it's not only I who say it. Did you hear that clip from on CNN from Queen Rania of Jordan?
I didn't see it. What was that clip?
Oh, you have to see it. You have to see it.
That's from the Queen of Jordan?
The Queen of Jordan, Queen Rania of Jordan, had an interview on CNN.
I want to absolutely and wholeheartedly condemn anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. It's never okay, it's never justified to attack somebody based on their political beliefs. But I also want to remind everyone that Israel does not represent all the Jewish people around the world. Israel is a state and it alone is responsible for its own crimes. Jewish people around the world, many of them are appalled by what they're seeing. And, you know, like you said, Islamophobia is the other side of the same disease. And we Muslims, we have to be the first to condemn anti-Semitism. We have had a long history of peaceful coexistence. So this is not about religion, it is about politics. And what we've seen in recent years is the charge of anti-Semitism being weaponized in order to silence any criticism of Israel. So defenders or supporters of Israel who cannot defend Israel's actions or conduct, they revert to shutting the conversation down by equating criticism of Israel with anti-Semitism. Let me be very, very clear. Being pro-Palestinian is not being anti-Semitic. Being pro-Palestinian does not mean you're pro-Hamas or pro-terrorism. I think Israel deserves more from its allies than just unequivocal support. I think it deserves some uncomfortable truths, because if you are a real friend, you support your friend when they're right, but you also tell them when they've crossed the line.
Okay, that was Queen Rania. She mentions the fact that, number one, Israel doesn't represent the Jews. Very important for people to know. Israel tries to convince people that their actions represent the Jews. They don't. Now, a Jew could be anti-Israel. He could be pro-Israel. He could be semi-pro-Israel. He could have whatever opinion he wants. But what Israel does has nothing to do with the Jews. To me, to Jews, Israel is the same as Ukraine. There are Jews living in Ukraine and there are Jews living in Israel. But Ukraine's actions don't represent the Jews, and Israel's actions don't represent the Jews. What Israel wants is for Zionists want for people to think that when Israel does something, that's the act of all the Jews. And that puts Jews in danger. And that's what Queen Rania, and I am very grateful to her for saying this, that was saying that don't hold Jews responsible for anything Israel does. Here's the thing. You remember during the COVID, so there were people in Chinatown here in New York that got beaten up because they were calling it the Chinese virus. That's what happened. They were calling it the Chinese virus, so they were beating up Chinese people. Now, obviously, nobody's allowed to beat up Chinese people because of a Chinese virus. Those people are criminal. Those are thugs, no question about it. But there are low-lives criminals and thugs out there. There are bad actors in the street. But even if somebody's a bad actor and he will beat up Chinese people because of a Chinese virus, he would never beat up an Irish person because of a Chinese virus. That's insane. Even if you're a criminal, you wouldn't do that. So there are criminals out there who will beat up Jews in the street. Anti-Semitism is rising, as is Islamophobia, all over the world because of what's going on between Israel and Palestine. That's wrong. And it's not merely because don't blame all Palestinians in America for what Palestine does. That's true. Don't blame all Israelis in America. This is worse. Blaming Jews for what Israel does is like blaming Irish people in Australia for what Israel does. Jews and Israel are two different things. It's not merely that there are Italian Americans that come to America and now they're Americans and don't connect them with Italy anymore. No, my family's from Poland. I have nothing to do with Israel. The idea that there's a connection between Jews. Judaism is a religion. That's my whole identity. I'm an American by nationality, and I practice a religion that says God gave Moses the law on Mount Sinai, and I follow that law. I have nothing to do with any other country in the world, except except the United States and America have nothing to do with some country in the Middle East. Nothing. Their idea that Jews are connected to Israel, that's the definition of Zionism. Mm-hmm. Zionism says that Israel's not the country of the Israelis, Israel's the country of the Jews. Now, nobody should beat up anybody. Nobody should attack anybody, non-combatants. Nobody. However, the fact that there are bad people out there that will attack non-combatants, why should they attack me? What do I have to do with this fight? If somebody came to me and said, well, you're Ukrainian and I'm Russian and I'm going to attack you because you're Ukrainian and you support Ukraine, what do you think I'm going to tell them? I'm going to say, well, I'm not Ukrainian. Leave me alone. That doesn't mean you should attack the real Ukrainians. That just means, you. What do you want from me? I'm not involved in this. I am not involved in the Israel-Palestinian conflict. I have nothing to do with it. I have nothing to do with Israel, nothing to do with Palestine. I can have an opinion about it the same way I have an opinion on Russia and Ukraine, the same way I can have an opinion on India and Kashmir or China and the Uyghur Muslims.
Yeah.
But I have nothing to do. We have nothing to do with Israel. And I want to say this, Eddie, that and therefore, I really believe it's counterproductive for the Palestinian cause for them to trot out Jews and say, look, here's a Jew, and even he believes that the Palestinians are right. The reason that's counterproductive is because of what I said before. If the Jews are not your enemy and Israel is your enemy, if the Jews are not who you have a fight with, but Israel is, and you agree with that, and these Palestinians agree with that, what's the point of what benefit is it to say, look, this American Jew, he's American Jew, even he agrees with us. You won't find Israelis that say that. That'll be for your cause. But to come and say, well, Jews are not, we're not in a fight with Jews, we're in a fight with Israel. But there's a Jew in America, there's a Jew in England that agrees with us. Look, everybody, even a Jew does. It's a paradox. It's paradoxical. It's contradictory. And the Zionists know this. And the Zionists are happy when they have these left-wing Zionists that come and they say, well, we're against the occupation. You know what? If you find Israelis that are against the occupation, that'll be very good for your cause. But if you find Jews that are against the occupation from England or from America, that's no different, no better or worse for your cause than if you find Catholics or Protestants or Hindus from in America or England that's on your side. Yeah.
You also you spoke about, just going back in history a little bit, a chief rabbi that at that time when Muslim and Jews living in peace. And now you had this push to create this this state, and the Jewish rabbi sent a messenger to the British saying, you cover this now, that they don't want the Zionists to rule. And then this was Jacob Dahan, and then he was actually assassinated?
Jacob Dahan. Jacob Dahan was assassinated by the Zionists, a man by the name of Avram Tahomi. What happened was that he was about to go to the British to send a message to the British that the Jews in Palestine have no interest in the Zionists taking over and creating a Jewish state. So this was not just a murder or manslaughter. This was an actual assassination. They made sure there was nobody in the street. At that time, it was premeditated. It was a group of people together conspired. He came out of a hospital in which there was a prayer quorum that just took place. He was coming out of the prayer quorum, and somebody asked him, what time is it? He looked at his watch, and they shot him in the chest. Wow. A couple of times. They later, of course, denied it, but then they admitted it.
They admitted it later. This happened in the UK?
No, this happened in Israel.
In Israel. This happened in Israel. Okay.
This happened in Israel before Israel was created, in Palestine, in the Holy Land. Wow. This happened in Israel. In Jerusalem, this happened.
Wow.
This was a political assassination in the Middle East.
We talked about Herzl. It's Ben-Gurion confirmed that they were atheists. How about the person now? He's using the Bible. The new when we spoke, you said, thank God, former prime minister. That's now right. He's actually the prime minister, and he's actually quoting the Bible. He's quoting certain verses, calling certain people Amalekites. But then I remember we spoke before, he said he's also an atheist. He's a secular.
Netanyahu is completely secular. Here's a rule about Netanyahu. Whenever he is involved, he involves himself in biblical exegesis or stuff like that, he's pandering to the evangelicals.
Ah.
The Jews understand that he's a joke when he speaks about the Bible and that he has no idea what he's talking
about. They understand he's a joke. You guys understand he's a joke now, the scholars, the academics.
Not even scholars. An eighth grade yeshiva student knows that he's a joke. He knows less about the Bible than an elementary school kid. Mm-hmm. And he knows Amalek, which is what he referred to, that's a nationality which we don't know who they are now. They're not like one particular country. They're somewhere. We have no idea where. We don't actually kill anybody. But
You saw the clip.
Yes, the clip. He's out of his mind. He's out of his mind, and he's using.
Sorry, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, and he's using that Amalek, referring to Israel's political enemies. As the Amalek is a nationality, more it's like a people, people whose souls, whose very existence is the epitome of evil, you know? Again, you can't point to a country and say that's them. This was a ancient biblical people, a concept that today you can't identify. We don't know who they are or where they are, so we don't go around killing people. But for Netanyahu to go and say that the Palestinians are Amalek and that the reason why they're Amalek, this was the implication, is because Israel's enemies are God's enemies, are the Jewish people's enemies, they're eternal enemies. It's like an anti-Jew, I guess you can call Amalek, you know? The Christians have an antichrist. It's not exactly the same thing, but you can call Amalek, by way of analogy, the anti-Jew. So because Israel's in a war with these people, they're the anti-Jew. They're the epitome of evil. Therefore, they all have to be wiped out. No, it's insane. And he's pandering to the evangelicals. Every sixth grade yeshiva kid knows that Netanyahu is what we call in Hebrew an Am Haaretz, an ignoramus, an empty, vapid, vacuous a human being that knows nothing about the Jewish religion, which he doesn't accept. He is totally secular, completely secular, and it was a big scandal, which it shouldn't have been, when they caught him on video, some people in Europe, when he was eating non-kosher food in a non-kosher restaurant. But that's what he does. He doesn't respect anything of the Jewish religion. He doesn't keep the Sabbath. He doesn't do nothing. He is, I want to tell you, as a rabbi, I want to tell you something. Whoever's a good Jew and closer to us are those that are closer to God. God is our father and our king. And I'm sure the same thing with the Muslims. Whoever is closer to God is closer to us, right? A loyal Jew means somebody who's loyal to God, just like a loyal Frenchman means somebody who's loyal to the French king. The Jews have a king, and that's God. Whoever's loyal to him is loyal. Whoever's further from him is further from the Jews. And therefore, listen to me. A Muslim who believes in God, and between me and you, the Muslims believe in the same God that the Jews do, the necessary existence, the first cause, the creator of the world, the creator of everything. Those words, necessary existence, first cause, Ibn Rushd or Al-Ghazali. I know about these Muslim philosophers from studying Judaism. I never in my life studied any of Muslim theology, but I know it from Maimonides, from Kreshkash, from the Jewish books that quote them. And law-abiding Muslim, average law-abiding Muslim that doesn't worship idols, that believes in God, that follows a regular system of civil law, doesn't have to be the Jewish one, a civil law, and fulfills the seven Noahide laws, which according to Judaism, all the world is obligated to fulfill. And the Muslims are one step closer to that because they worship the first cause, that's they believe in it, is closer to God than a godless atheist like Theodore Herzl.
Wow. Tell me, you mentioned Maimonides. So Maimonides, how would we look? Maimonides is one of the greatest. He's like, he's looked at as like one of the greatest pioneers scholars of Judaism. Am I correct?
Of his time.
Is it true that he was the personal physician for Salahuddin? I've heard this. Is that?
Yes, this is true. In fact, I want to tell you a story. I have a friend, a guy from my neighborhood. He went on vacation and he went to Egypt. went to visit Egypt. And he hired a driver to drive him around, and he asked if there are any synagogues here. Now, for some reason, the drivers in Egypt are required, when somebody asks for synagogues, or maybe this guy just got suspicious, he called the police because he was afraid this guy was coming to bomb the synagogue or something. He was, he had a baseball cap on. He didn't look specifically like a Jew. He didn't have a beard. They ran their passports through whatever technology they have, and they found out that the man's wife, the woman's maiden name was Maimon, means that she was a descendant, direct descendant of Maimonides.
Wow.
When they found out, they gave her a royal welcome. They brought her to some Muslim school where the girls came out one by one and kissed her hand. They brought them to the Maimonides synagogue and took out the Torah and let them read from it. They thought that that was a thing. It really isn't a thing, but it doesn't make a difference. Reading the Torah of a synagogue isn't actually a thing randomly, but they meant well. And they wanted to put them up at a expensive hotel, and they brought that. Israel was their next stop on their vacation. They sent them to Israel on like a private government plane because they said Maimonides is like a celebrity, a superstar in Egypt.
Wow. I mean, this is like opposite. I have this one professor. He's very well known. I don't know if you heard of him. He keeps coming up in my timeline. And I'm seeing some of his messages. God Saad, Professor God Saad. Have you ever heard of him from Canada?
No, the name is familiar, but I don't think I know anything about him.
Someone like him, and then Ben, we spoke about Ben Shapiro last time. For people like this God Saad who are pushing this, and he's pushing this division, you know, this Muslims intrinsically, they hate Jews, and it's not about the land. It's not about any of these things. He's like, this is what it is. He's trying to link it to, it's a theological thing that Muslims want to eradicate Jews and whatnot. So when you hear stuff like that, what do you have to say?
Here's what I have to say. Muslims do not intrinsically hate Jews. You're a Muslim. I'm a Jew. I don't think you intrinsically hate me. Queen Rania, for crying out loud, this is the Queen of Jordan. You heard what she said, okay?
Yes.
Nobody's gonna put pressure on her to say something else. This is the Queen of Jordan, all right? Now, the reason why they say this is if you look, Israel has a ministry of Hasbara. I'm sure you've heard of it, right? It means propaganda. Literally, the word Hasbara in Hebrew means explanation. You probably have a similar word in Arabic. I'm guessing. Hasbara, to think, to explain, something like that. Savar, something like that. Anyway, so in Israel's, Frank Luntz was once hired by Israel to figure out what the best arguments for Israel are and what people who are arguing for Israel should be saying. And he actually, the Israel Project, TIP, T-I-P, put out a manual. You can get it online, Words That Work. That's what it's called. And in there it says, one of the things it says is that you should always, what did they say? Make sure you understand the argument is about, say, you should say the argument is about ideology and not politics. His words are terrorism, not territory. And the reason is because if you talk about Israel wanting territory, people will not approve of that. Mm-hmm. But if you say Israel fighting terrorism, then people will approve of that. Wow. Those are his words. That's the slogan. Terrorism, not territory. So the more it's an ideological religious war, the less like, number one, the more likely it is for Israel to get support, but two, the less likely it is for anybody to suggest that it's possible to make peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because wars over territory, you can compromise, you can make peace, right? You could change an enemy to a friend. We atom bombed Japan once upon a time. Not long later, we weren't enemies anymore. One day, United States was fighting with Russia against Germany, against Hitler, the biggest monster in like history of the world. Not long thereafter, we were allies with Germany against Russia. That's how politics works, right? But if it's a religious war, if it's intrinsic, there's no hope for peace, no hope to live together, no hope to reconcile, no hope for change. The Muslims are intrinsically evil, intrinsically they hate the Jews, intrinsically there's nothing you can do. Also, it explains the motive for the Muslims. The issue over here therefore is not what Israel did or does, or what Hamas did or does. The issue is Muslims intrinsically hate Jews, right? That's what they want people to believe. So
that's a blatant lie, and that's a blatant lie. It's a blatant lie.
The issue is not Muslims. The issue is not Jews. The war has nothing to do with Muslims and Jews. The issue has to do with Israel and Palestine, or now Israel and Gaza. That's where the war is. It's politics. It's an issue of territory. It's an issue of two countries. It has nothing to do with Jews. It has nothing to do with Muslims. Besides which, a lot of the, just like Netanyahu is secular, a lot of the Palestinians are secular, right? Mm-hmm. Yasser Arafat was married to a Christian, right? And there are plenty of Christian Palestinians, and there are plenty of Palestinians who are secular. This has nothing to do with religion, and Netanyahu trying to make it have to do with religion, he can't fool the Jews. He's pandering to the evangelicals.
It's like, so people can understand, it's like we have prayer five times a day. We have the Jummah on Fridays. So there are certain five pillars of Islam that you go ahead, prayer, fasting, charity, all these things. If you're not doing it, then you're just Muslim by name, a name tag Muslim. You're not, so this is kind of the same thing what we have here. Tell me this, you made an equation to the idol worship, and this is something that is what we call shirk. Shirk is like the greatest sin, that somebody's associating partners with God Almighty, the Creator. And you mentioned the story of the calf. I think you mentioned the calf. It started to have me think of the calf when you had a certain group. And I want to link this back to when we talked about someone like Ben Shapiro. After we have a concept called takfir. If somebody is doing certain things, then the scholars would talk with him, question him, and then they can, not just a layman, to takfir, to excommunicate him, take him out of Islam. But there are certain things that if he does, that can take you out of Islam. And that's one of the greatest things if you're worshiping other than God Almighty. So would you say that it had me thinking, like, with someone like Ben Shapiro and the like, because you had a certain group at that time, Moses, who we love and revere, is one of the mightiest messengers. So he got the Torah, he got the commandments from God. When he came back, there was a certain group that were worshiping the calf. We have this story there in the Quran. They came, they're worshiping the calf. And can you equate at that time people like Ben Shapiro, who were doing the idol worship, with at that time, at this time, people like that, who are trying to represent Judaism, Jews, but they're actually like those followers at that time who did idol worship, who weren't the true. How would you, in what category would you put someone like this, Ben Shapiro, and people of the like, the people who are pushing? They're the front actor. The reason I mention him because this is one of the strong proponents, actors who are really pushing, you know, for war, pushing for the annihilation of a certain people and whatnot.
Right. So the first thing, as you mentioned, I forgot what the Arabic word that you used before you communicate anybody.
Takfir.
But before you go over to him and talk to him or something.
Yes.
It's the same thing over here. So judging an individual person, I would have to hear his side of the story. And if he admits, yes, he's a Zionist and he believes that Israel is the state of the Jews. And as a Jew, he needs to be loyal to a particular country. Any element of nationalism? Yes, absolute idol worship. And I will explain why. It's no different than if a person bows down to a totem pole in Judaism. And here's why. The definition of a Jew is better, more accurate than calling it a religion. I would call it a job description given by God to fulfill the 613 commandments and thousands of subdivisions of them. Therefore, if I say as a Jew, I must do XYZ, what that means, that's part of my religious practice. If I say, because being a Jew means only a type of religious practice, the same way being a policeman means that you have a job to be in the police force. And if you say, as a policeman, I must do this, you mean as your job of being a policeman. If I say, as a Jew, because I'm a Jew, therefore XYZ, that means it's part of my religious practice. So if I say as a Jew, I have to fulfill the Torah, or as a Jew, I have to do XYZ because it's in the Torah, or it's proper according to the Torah, then that's good. But if I say as a Jew, I have to be loyal to a certain country, then I'm saying that's part of my religion, part of my Jewish identity is something physical, political, outside of religion. And that's no different than saying, as a Jew, I have to bow down to this idol. You don't need to say this idol has created the world or this idol has power. What you do need to say is that, this country or this totem pole or whatever it is, bowing to it is part of my religion, part of my Jewish identity. We'll put it that way. This part of my Jewish identity, besides the Torah, that's idol worship. Or if I say this country is going to save me, the Jews are not in God's hands. Now we finally have a country. Now we finally have an army. That's called Koichi V'Yotzem Yodi, that you don't rely on God. You're relying on an army. An individual, his fate, he's allowed to carry a gun if he feels he needs to. He's allowed to, like, I don't know, take karate lessons like you did. He's allowed to lock his doors at night, because as an individual is because that he's not doing it as a Jew. But if you say the Jewish people are under God's control as a whole, collectively. For somebody to say the Jewish people as a whole now are better off because Israel has an army or Israel exists, that's what we call kafira. You have a word for that, I know, in Arabic, a kofir.
Yes, kafir, kufr, to do kufr, kufr, yes.
Okay, so we have a kafira, same word, to same, deny.
Same thing, yes.
Same thing, yes, it means denial. And aside from that aspect of it, if a person thinks that he, as a Jew, is connected to anything, as a Jew, he's connected to anything besides God and the Torah, that's idol worship, because you're bringing into your Jewish identity, which means your religion, something other than what belongs there.
So how would you class someone like Ben Shapiro? Would you say he falls under that category of idol worship?
If he believes any of the above, he absolutely is. There are idol worshipers like Benjamin Netanyahu, who substitute the Jewish religion for idol worship. And there are those who, in the days of the Bible, who were regular Orthodox Jews, but worshiped the Baal. There are Orthodox Jews who worship idols too today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big temptation, just as there was in the olden days, to worship idols. There's a different type of temptation, but there's a big temptation for Zionism today, mm-hmm. especially with all the propaganda that's churned out.
Mm-hmm. Tell me this, before we conclude, just have a couple more questions, if you can help me understand, because so from, you mentioned Christian Zionism, and I know there was a person, a priest by the name of John Nelson Darby, and he created this dispensationalism. Are you familiar with that?
Absolutely.
This dispensationalism, and then you had all of these, from what I understood, speaking to a Christian pastor, these weird, strange teachings of Christianity, and then you had the Cyrus Schofield, who met someone who knew John Nelson Darby, and they put all this in the Schofield Bible. They pushed this. I think this got funded from the American Zionist Association. Maybe you can help me understand this also from your perspective. And they pushed this out there, I'm just giving a condensed version. They pushed mm-hmm. this out there. This is actually fake teachings that are really not even part of Christianity. And they pushed this into the churches. They pushed this into the American public. And what happened is that we also have today, we have this fake, I call it, this forced prophecies that they're trying to fulfill, this rapture and whatnot. And then you have the Third Temple Institute, and they're trying to rebuild the Third Temple. And can you help us understand this from a Jewish perspective?
Sure. It started earlier than those guys. I'm reading now from a website, ICEJUSA.org, that's the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem, The History of Christian Zionism. In 1587, a man named Francis Kett was burned alive for expressing his belief that the Bible prophesies the return of the Jews to their land. Moreover, in 1607, Thomas Brightman published a book in Basel called The Revelation of the Revelation. In this book, he wrote, some bunch of Zionist, Christian Zionist stuff.
Yeah.
Late 1500s, early 1600s, this is before any Jewish Zionist was born. In fact, there was a Reverend William Heckler who came to Theodor Herzl and introduced him to heads of state. He was a Christian Zionist. He had some kind of ideas that that Zionism is the beginning of the redemption, the final redemption where Jesus comes back. Which, by the way, there are many Zionist Orthodox Jews that believe that the state of Israel is the beginning of the redemption, our Messiah. The Christians had that idea way before they did. A lot of Zionism is taken from Jewish Zionism is taken from the Christian version. Mm-hmm. The Christians have this idea that the Jews are going to return to their homelands before the second coming of their Messiah, and then there are differences of opinion among them. Some believe that when the Messiah comes, the Jews will be killed. Others say they'll convert, and there are other opinions, but those are the two main lines. Just as I told you before, that whoever's closer to God is, to me, closer to me, Muslim who believes in God is closer to God than an atheist like Theodor Herzl. And when I say closer to me, I mean you're not my enemy. Those people who don't believe in my king, they're further from me. But to the Zionists, whoever believes in Zionism is closer to them. So yesterday in Washington, D.C., there was this big pro-Israel rally there. And you would think that the speakers, it was organized by Jews. Guess who one of the speakers were?
Who?
Paul Hagee.
Yes, I saw that Paul Hagee was there, yes.
So you have an anti-Semitic Christian guy. There were no rabbis, by the way, who spoke.
You called him an anti, so you have an anti-Semitic guy.
Yes, he's an anti, but if the anti-Semite is, even if he's Christian, Jews don't believe in Christianity, any version of it, right? We don't believe in it at all. Their God is a Trinity, not like yours, which is a first cause. They are further from Judaism in terms of theology than Islam. They didn't have any rabbis speaking.
You can don't lose your place. You can actually, as a rabbi, you can pray in a masjid, right? A mosque. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. I'll get back to you in a moment with that. The answer is yes. There's a disagreement amongst our authorities, but the bottom line is yes. This guy, because he's a Zionist, he spoke at a Jewish event. It was organized by Jews. They had Orthodox Jewish Zionists there.
Hagee, he's the leading one evangelical for this cause, isn't he?
Yes, America? And he one of them. I don't know if he's the, but for certainly one of them. There were no rabbis who spoke. This is Zionism. Zionism is replacement for Jews.
No rabbis. No Orthodox rabbi.
Zero. Just a Christian evangelical, televangelical, whatever they call them.
And don't forget, I think I saw some clips and some music bands.
I didn't see all of that music.
It was like a concert.
Judaism is a connection between the Jewish people and God.
Uh-huh.
Yes, we are a different religion than Islam. No question about it. Islam is a different religion, and I know Islam believes in abrogation. We don't. We consider it against our religion. No question about it. It's a different religion. But at least Muslims believe in the right God. They're not idol worshippers like other religions. And for that we were people of the book, we were considered to you guys all the time, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. But atheists are much further from my religion than Muslims are. Atheists are further. They don't believe in any God. Even an idol worshiper is closer to me theologically than an atheist. Now, to Zionists, whoever's closer to loyal to Israel, that's what counts. Kurt Orban, he could be an anti-Semite. It doesn't matter. Netanyahu coddles up to him. You can have a guy like Hagee. It doesn't matter if he's Christian, what his beliefs are. Zionist, boom, he speaks for them. Now, as far as the masjid is concerned, I have to tell you an interesting thing, that The word masjid, mm-hmm. Orthodox Jews should know what it means. In our prayers, we have a state. I was thinking, somebody told me this. I didn't even realize this. A friend of mine. We have a statement in our prayers. It's in Aramaic. Ano avdo de kutcha brihu de sagidno kame. Sagidno means we are servants of God. We bow to him. Sagidno means we bow. Now, the sagid, if you use the soft gimel, like Egyptian, it's sajid. And whenever you put an M sound in front of a word like that, it becomes a place. So masjid in our rabbinic Aramaic would mean a place where you bow. Am I mm-hmm. correct?
Yes, prostration, masjid.
Prostration, that's exactly what it means.
And yeah, the whole earth, God Almighty, Allah is telling us the whole earth is made as a place of sajda, as long as there's certain requirements, has to be clean and whatnot, but sajda, prostrating to only one and only one God.
So sagid is our word for bow, for prostration.
Mm-hmm.
Sagid. Sajda.
And we, oh, sagid, sajda, sajda.
That's right.
Sagid, same, yes.
It's the same wow. word. It's the same word. But, you know, again, Theodor Herzl theoretically could have repented and then he would become a good Jew like me. And in terms of potential, he has that potential. But so long as he chooses not to repent and remain an atheist, and all atheists, they are further from my theology than anybody that believes in any God. Certainly, people who believe in the first cause, necessary existence, the Siba Rishona, the creator of the world.
Your message to Trump, you had a message to Trump. Can you, before we conclude, we have a few minutes left. What was that message about? Because he was mentioning Jerusalem, capital, and you made a specific message to Trump on this.
Zionism transforms Judaism from a religion to politics, from spiritual to political. Capitals of places are a political entity. It's the most important city in a state or in a country. Jews are not a state or a country. Jews have no capital. Even in the days of King David, when Jerusalem, we'll call it the capital of King David's kingdom, if there was a non-Jew living in King David's kingdom, Jerusalem was his capital also. The capital is a capital of a place. The Jews are a religious community. It makes no sense to say the Jews have a capital. Trump said Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the Jewish people. He is substituting Israel for the Jews, and that's precisely what Zionism does. Israel becomes the religion. Israel becomes the focus of identity. Israel becomes the center of Jewish life and Jewishness itself. And that is an attack on my religion, a much bigger attack than saying that, okay, I don't believe in a particular part of a particular detail. This is a fundamental attack on our religion.
Have you ever visited Bosnia?
Bosnia, no.
There's a big.
My son did.
Yeah,
I think so.
There's also a big, to this day, a Jewish community there that found a place of home in Bosnia. You had Albania, you had places like this, and there was something I read regarding the Jewish community in Bosnia. So I thought, I think you'd like it there. If you've ever visit Europe, let me know. I can have someone show you around.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
That's where my family's from Bosnia.
Really, Bosnia?
Yes.
I may take you up on that.
Yes, please. So what do I tell people when I say, I usually mention you, I mentioned Rabbi Weiss, I mentioned Pico Pilit, I mentioned people like this. Yeah, I consider you guys my friend. You know, we're not like close friends, like we hang out all the time, but we have the potential to be. I'd love to have dinner and lunch with you, but when I see you guys who are really practicing Jews, you practice Judaism, usually when I hear some of these guys like Ben Shapiro and others, is it safe to say, can I call them fake Jews? What do I call them? Like, I usually
call them misguided Jews. Call them idol worshiping Jews. You can call them Zionist Jews. And there was a rabbi in a seminary that the kids in the school were arguing whether, you know, how to refer to Zionism, with fake or idol, whatever. So the rabbi said, what do you mean? The worst thing, the most anti-Jewish thing you can call them is Zionism. You don't need anything else.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Zionist Jew. And again, this has nothing to do with politics. This has nothing to do with the war between Israel and the Palestinians. Again, even if the Palestinians were happy and they had everything they wanted, I would still have the exact same objections to Zionism.
Zionism, it's very clear. If anyone can take anything away, Zionism is not Judaism.
Absolutely. Either listen to me or Queen Rania. We both agree on that. Mm-hmm. Me and the Queen of Jordan.
What message also for people, young Jewish people out there, you know, coming up and you see all the programming and conditioning, how can they get more educated on this? Is this a common teaching now, like in more so in the Orthodox schools here in America with the youth coming up? And what advice do you have for them who are confused? And they want to go on the side of the 1,000 years of true peace that Muslims and Jews had. And we want to revive this.
Here's what I was. First, read my book, yeah. The Empty Wagon, Zionism's Journey from Identity Crisis to Identity Theft. The Empty Wagon.
Empty Wagon, they could read
the
that.
The Empty okay. Wagon, yeah. And secondly, if you want to learn about your Jewish identity, don't go on birthright trips. Don't subject yourself to Israeli propaganda, to Zionist propaganda. You want to learn about your Jewish identity and your Jewishness, go to an Orthodox rabbi, not a Zionist rabbi. Go to a regular Orthodox rabbi that studies the Torah and read Jewish books. There are all sorts of books on our religion. There are all sorts of people that will help you understand what Judaism is. Don't subject yourself to some political, nationalist, fake Judaism. They're just using their name in order to attract you as a Jew to their ideology, claiming that they represent Judaism. They represent Judaism no more than, I don't know, the Black Hebrews represent Judaism, or supersessionist Christianity represents Judaism. Zionism is just another supersessionist movement. You want to know about Judaism? In fact, send me an email. Go to my website. Go to rabbishapiro.net. I have links to everything there. And any Jew who's interested in learning more about Judaism, rabbishapiro.net, I will hook you up with somebody that can help you out.
What can I say as an ending term of endearment, respect? I would say, I don't want to, you know, God bless you. May Allah bless you. Like, I know it's something about not saying a certain name.
Allah is fine. I have friends, Orthodox Jews from Syria, Aleppo, Damascus, yeah. And they call God Allah.
That's another misconception right there. It's a whole different topic. So you have Jews also who are from this area who speak Arabic, and they call on the Creator by the name Allah.
Sure, they say Inshallah. Which means Imirtza Hashem, Ashkenazim say. They say Inshallah. Yeah, sure.
So may Allah bless you.
Thank you, and same to you.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Cannot leave without giving you a gift. If you're not yet Muslim and you're tuning in to see what these Muslims are talking about and you like a free copy of the Quran, go ahead and visit thedeanshow.com. We'll take care of the postage and everything and get it delivered to you. And if you still have some questions about Islam, call us at 1-800-662-4752. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I'm Dr. Rania Awad, and I'm so excited to be here at the Dean Center, mashallah, which is under renovation. And I can't wait to see what's going to come. Inshallah, there's going to be a Dawah Center, there's a masjid, there's a school, an Islamic school, a gym, and what we hope, inshallah, will also have a mental health part of this center as well, inshallah. So I'm asking you to please make sure that you support this effort. Inshallah, I really hope that it spreads and really the knowledge of Islam and people get to know more about Muslims and Islam through this effort.